Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kennison and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:06 in the morning, Friday the 29th of November. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking about the U-turn on Malaysia's cabinet reshuffle. But before that, let's take a look at what's happening over in the markets.
So Asian markets were basically, they were all in the red yesterday. Shanghai closed 0.5%. Japan was down 0.1%. Korea was down 0.4%. Hong Kong was down 0.2%. Singapore was down 0.5%. And the KLCI was down 0.2. So a sea of red there. And not a pleasant sight to see.
Well, not surprising after Trump signed those Hong Kong bills. So the markets kind of took a nosedive. Well, not that badly, but still down. Meanwhile, U.S. markets are closed for Thanksgiving. Everyone in U.S. is busy eating turkey and watching football. So it's going to be, I think, a quiet day in the region.
Xiaoning, in Malaysia, we have to call it American football because on this side of the world, football means one thing.
Yes, the ball is round.
So joining us on the line this morning for some thoughts on global markets, we have Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda. Thank you for joining us, Jeffrey. Now, over in the UK, polls place Boris Johnson as the favourite to win the December elections, which would mean some stability in the markets at the very least. But with 2 weeks to polling day, what's your outlook on the pound? And what are you watching out for that could jeopardise that stability?
Yeah, I think the major fact would be a sudden surge in support for Labour's Jeremy Corbyn. The Labour election manifesto has a certain Stalinist look about it with mass privatisations and redistributions of wealth. Yeah, the whole quality thing, but the way that they're looking at doing it is absolutely terrified investors and takes us back to the 1917s in Britain on steroids, which, of course, none of you would remember.
I do, Jeffrey, yeah. I do.
No way. I'm feeling so happy right now. So, therefore, I think it's short of either Boris Johnson putting his foot in it, something that's entirely possible, I guess, in a biblical way, or a sudden surge in support for Labour, indicating another hung parliament or a change of government completely, then the outlook should remain fairly strong. And the closer we get to the election, if the polls hold up, then that should be positive for the British pound as well.
Now, moving over to the US, Jeffrey. Now, while the markets are closed, data has propelled Wall Street major indices to new record highs recently. How long do you think this will sustain, especially against the backdrop of the US-China uncertainties?
Yeah, this one is how long's a piece of string. I've been scratching my head about this for a while now. We're at record highs in stock markets all over the world, and growth seems to be creeping back in. Jobless is sort of quite low around the world, relatively, yet none of us feel very happy about life. So this is all down to the trade talks, and if we get an interim deal across the line, then the music should keep playing. Although I do note that bond yields are starting to flip lower again, which is never a good sign. If we get a breakdown in those trade talks and we don't get a deal across the line, even an interim one, then we should see a mass rush to the exit. I think it's quite hard to stand in front of a moving freight train. So my advice to people is not to fight trends, so to speak, but be prepared to be, you know, sort of fairly quick to the exit door if things start turning dark.
And Jeffrey, now that the US has signed off on the Congress Hong Kong legislation, do you think this will actually pose a setback to current trade negotiations then?
Not sure. I mean, I guess President Trump signed the legislation into law and then immediately hopped on a plane to Afghanistan, which I guess is an impressive way of sort of not having to face the music. I think the important thing here is that it was unanimously passed, basically, by the two houses of Congress. So, therefore, if he had rejected it, they could have another vote and then override the veto, the presidential veto. So it was going to come into law anyway, so he may as well have just signed it and got on the plane. I think that China will probably do a bit of chest bumping and be belligerent and make a few comments to keep the whole face thing going. But I think they realise as much as anybody else that this is Congress and not President Trump doing this. So we'll see some sort of noise and threat. But China needs this interim trade agreement and a comprehensive one as much as the United States does. So despite the angry noises, I think it'll still continue as business as usual, and this won't jeopardise the trade talks. And that's why we'll probably see Asian stocks moving higher today.
Thank you very much, Jeffrey. And that was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Oanda. Now, you know, as he pointed out, the difficulty with the fact that the Hong Kong legislation got so much support from Congress was that even if President Donald Trump had tried to reject it, they would have just overridden him anyway. And then the fact that he is heading into an election year in 2020 would mean that he probably didn't want to have that kind of egg on your face situation where you make that you say, no, you can't do this, but then they just kind of ignore you and go ahead with it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Strategically, it makes no sense, right? Because is this the hill you want to die on?
Yeah, don't fight a losing battle, basically.
And it was, I mean, was it unanimously passed by Congress, right? If he vetoed it, they would find a way to veto his veto. So, yeah.
Well, these two bills that Donald Trump signed favoring the Hong Kong pro-democracy protesters, they are called the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act. And what's important about it is that it mandates U.S. executive branch to annually re-examine Hong Kong status and actually imposes sanctions on anyone who has suppressed human rights in Hong Kong. And now, the second bill blocks new export licenses for tear gas, rubber bullets and handcuffs being sent to the Hong Kong police. Y'all are both taking a deep breath.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I guess it's nice, not nice, love, but it's something to see that they're taking a stand here.
It's messaging
here, but at the same time, how does this messaging mesh in with the trade talk messaging? Because like Jeffrey said, right, they both need this. The US and China both need this. But at the same time, there's also an element of pride in these negotiations from both sides.
Face saving.
Not just from China, but from President Trump himself. He's a very, he's got an ego on him. So I don't,
How do you balance it? The Chinese aren't just going to like let this kind of like slide, right? So what does this mean for these ongoing US-China trade talks? Will phase one actually happen? And, you know, we have to remember the 15 December deadline is fast approaching. We're talking about 15% tariffs on $160 billion worth of Chinese imports into US. This is significant. So, you know, so far, I mean, the Chinese foreign ministry has come out to say, condemns Trump's decision, warning that Beijing would take resolute countermeasures, whatever that means, though at this moment we are unsure.
Yeah, so I sigh because I'm not so much looking at it from a, you know, what is this going to mean from a trade war perspective? Although that, you know, that is obviously a concern. For me, it is a sovereignty issue, and I dislike seeing any country imposing sanctions unilaterally on another territory or another country. I think that these things should have gone through international organizations because that's what they're for, you know, to address these things and to bring these into an international context. But, you know, this is the US all over. So are we surprised? Not particularly.
I think the last word should go to the foreign ministry spokesperson of China, Geng Shuang, when he refused to answer on how this would impact trade talks. And he told reporters, stay tuned. And what will come, will come. So we will find out.
That's not ominous at all.
Not at all. But of course, the US President Donald Trump also has not been idle this Thanksgiving, because for the first time during this holiday, he also did travel to Afghanistan for a surprise visit to US troops there. And he met with the Afghan President Ashraf Ghani and said that Washington is planning to restart talks with the Taliban. So he says that they'll see if the Taliban wants to make a deal. And if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't.
How Trumpian is that? That is all he ever says. They want to make a deal, they'll make a deal. If they don't want to make a deal, they won't make a deal. And that's how it is, right? He says so much but says nothing at the same time. So this visit comes 1 week after the Taliban freed two Western hostages, American Kevin King and Australian Timothy Weeks. The American university professors had been held for more than 3 years. And Trump also said that the U.S. is able to very substantially draw down its military presence in the country to 8,600 troops or possibly lower than that, and has repeatedly said that he wants to reduce troops in Afghanistan, where the U.S. has fought the longest war in history at this point.
And it's not true that he didn't say very much, because I quote Bloomberg here, said, "I had a bit of mashed potatoes and I never got my turkey," Trump told soldiers at the rally, saying, "I should have started with that and not the mashed potatoes. I made the mistake." So that's the highlight of his Afghanistan tour, it seems.
So that's the mistake he wants
to highlight?
Yeah,
that's the mistake he wants highlight.
Okay, time for us all to take a break for turkey and mashed potatoes then. But you know what? We are heading into a few messages. And then up next, we'll be taking a look at the local political scene, because we'll be speaking about the U-turn on Malaysia's cabinet reshuffle. So be sure to stay tuned for that after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.